Welcome to the Bravo Papers, a safe space for all us Bravo fans who love to analyze, deconstruct, and talk about our favorite Bravo shows ad nauseum. So join me, Bravo and Botox, and we'll catch up on all the Bravo news and read way too much into our favorite shows and Bravo celebrities. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Bravo Papers, Bravo Weekly News. Here, your host, Bravo in Botox, also known as Emily. I'm doing my soothing voice because I got a couple reviews and people talked about my voice being soothing. So I love that. Thank you. Thank you. Should I do this voice all the time? No, I'm just joking, obviously. But thank you for the kind reviews. Listen, I try not to check the reviews too much, but because also I'm in Canada, so I can only see the Canadian reviews. So these were Canadian ones. And then if I want to see them from other countries, I've got to like log into my like Apple Podcast Connect. Like this is to see the Apple Podcast ones, whereas most of my listeners are on Spotify anyways, but yeah, I've got to like log in and find my password and do a two-step whatever verification. And it's like, it's a whole thing. So that's why I don't see them often. I think it's better not to check too much. Like it's good to check and get feedback. But it's also good not to obsess over it because, you know, especially if people, you have listeners and they like what you do, you know, you don't want to make like big changes based on like one person, you know, who might have a problem with something. But here's the other thing. One of you said in the review, by the way, thank you so much for the kind reviews. Honestly, it means the world to me. This has been like a week where I feel like everyone is, I don't know, just like sending love. Like, I'm like, what did I do this week to deserve this? But I got these reviews and then a couple listeners sent me like a coffee through Buy Me a Coffee. So I was like, everyone, I'm just like feeling, I'm all in my feelings, you know, it's just, it's really nice. And I just want you all to know how much I appreciate it. And I just appreciate you as listeners, just being here and listening. Like that's really the best form of payment that you could give me because, you know, the more people who listen consistently and download and subscribe and all that kind of stuff, like leave a review, a 5-star rating, whatever. That's what helps the podcast grow. You know, and one person put that their only complaint was they wish I could do more than one episode a week. I do too. Like I love that comment. One thing is, you know, I'm working towards that. One thing is that I do have a full-time job and it's not a low maintenance type of job. So I really, you know, I can't without like having a nervous breakdown, but, you know, I'm trying to continue growing the pod so that I can get signed with like a podcast network. That is kind of my next goal. And I have had some interest, but I'm still figuring that out. And if I can do that and I can get more sponsors or I can get some like ads or whatever, that will help me so that I can do this more full time and put out more episodes, which is what I really want to do, you know, but it's one of those things. It's like, you know, it's like growing your own business. Like it doesn't happen overnight. It takes years. It takes time. Like it really does. You don't just like pop up and have a podcast and, you know, have hundreds of thousands of listeners and get ads overnight. Like unless you're already like a celebrity or something like that. That's a little different, but I'm not, obviously. You know, even like starting this podcast, the reason I even had like a decent listener base to start with was because of my Instagram account. And that took years to grow to where it is. And then I was like, okay, I think I have enough of a following. And then Scandoval happened and it just seemed like the right time. And here we are. So thank you, everyone. I just wanted to say thank you for that. Also, happy Thanksgiving to all my wonderful Canadian listeners. I know, you know, the American Thanksgiving is later in November, but ours is today. And that is why I am coming to you a little later today on Monday, because my family, like a lot of families, we do Thanksgiving in Canada is always on a Monday. So, but most people, well, actually, I don't know if most people, I'm really just talking out of my ass, but most people I know do the dinner and the family gathering kind of thing on the Sunday. Cause then you get the Monday to like chill and just, you know, clean up what you, the mess you made from yesterday, relax, recover from the big meal and, you know, get ready for Tuesday, which is like the new Monday. So, yeah. Anyways, so yesterday, you know, I was at my parents, my mom hosted, so I was there all day. And then, and then by the time we got home, it's late. And, you know, Thanksgiving is like early, you're there all day, etc. So it's one of those things. So that's why I'm recording today. And I'm going to post it right after I'm done recording. So this is going to be a very fresh episode because I am recording and posting on the actual day. Usually I record on the Sunday or Saturday if I'm really on top of things, but usually the Sunday. And then I just have it scheduled to post on Monday morning for you all. So I'm sorry for the early morning listeners that you're getting this a bit later than usual, but you know, life happens, as we say, and it is definitely feeling like fall here. Like I'm looking out the window and there's a lot of red leaves, and it was kind of nice yesterday. It was like summery again, which I was like, okay, I'm over this now. Can we do the fall? I say that every year, and then the winter comes, and I'm like, ugh, it's the same pattern every year, right? All right, so we got some news. We definitely got some news today. Wait, let me just find the one that I wanted to start with. Okay. I wanted to start with Real Housewives of Orange County because there's just so much going on. Okay, there is just a lot. Listen, the reunion was filmed, and this is the seating chart. In case you didn't see it, I did post it on my Instagram. Obviously, Shannon and Tamra have first seats on either side of Andy. And then on Shannon's side is, in this order, okay, Gina, Jen, and Katie. And then on Tamra's side is Emily, Heather, and then Alexis. Now, I'm assuming that Alexis, I'm assuming Alexis will not be out there the whole time, but I also don't see how she could not be out there the whole time, because if you think about it, she's really been the center of a lot of the drama this season, you know, because she's obviously, you know, part of this lawsuit with Shannon's ex-boyfriend and all that kind of stuff, but they have her there. I'm a little surprised at Emily being next to Tamra. Like, I'm not surprised at Emily being on that side, because you can't put everyone on Shannon's side. And, you know, if you put everyone on Shannon's side, then all Tamra's going to have left is Heather. But I would have thought Heather would have been first. I actually think Heather had more drama this season than Emily, actually. Like, I know some of her drama was with Emily, but I just think that the way Heather's moving now as like Tamra's little sidekick and stuff, I just would have flipped them. But I guess at the end of the day, especially because Emily's been supporting Shannon more, but yeah, unless there's something that we're going to see in the next couple episodes, because I'm assuming, like, how many episodes are left? There can't be, like, I feel like we've been watching the season for a long time. Maybe it's because it's so drama heavy this season with the lawsuit and all that kind of stuff. I'm not complaining. Okay. I'm loving this season. The last episode where they go to London, loved that episode. That episode was like when Shannon finds that text from 2018 from Alexis proving that she was part of the lawsuit with John Jansen. Like, I literally made the same face as Gina. Like, I was like jaw dropped. Like, she, that little liar, like she was part of it. It was crazy. It was like a soap opera. Like, it was just so good, except it's just better because it's real life. So yeah, that was wild. What a great episode. And just like Shannon yelling at Tamra from behind those things that looked like bars and like just everything. Just, it was a great episode. I just feel like we're getting a lot of really good Housewives episodes this week because Potomac was great. Salt Lake City was amazing. The only one that was kind of wah, wah, was New York, but that's to be expected, I guess. Okay, so in terms of the reunion, I had a little snippet about that. Where was it? Hang on. Sorry, there's so much OC news. Oh, yeah. So Jen Pedranti was on Radio Andy, and she was asked about the reunion and how it was. And she basically said that Shannon was frazzled after the OC reunion. She made a comment about Shannon was running around like crazy or something, like after the reunion. I'm assuming she means like on set still after they shut the cameras down. But, you know, it's not really that surprising. Like, if there's anyone I can imagine running around frantically, you know, between filming, it's Shannon. Like, I could actually see this. So, you know, maybe that's why this didn't even make that big of headlines going around. But yeah, Jen was just said it was really hard for her. The season was really hard for her. You know, it was just all tough, which, again, we expected. Meanwhile, Tamra is, you know, doing her Tamra thing, doing lots of interviews, trying to kind of, you know, backtrack. Listen, Tamra's really leaning into this whole, what's it called? The editing is what got me. And you know that someone is desperate or they're at the end of their rope when it comes to debating or arguing their side when they start falling back on the editing, because that's not something that it's not something Tamra usually does. It's like it is something that we see housewives do, and then they usually get their heads bitten off for doing it by Andy or, you know, the rest of the cast, right? And even like, you know, Heather had that famous line like back in the day where she was like, they can't edit what you don't say or something like that. But the point of the story is that every interview I've heard with Tamra is her talking about how, oh, it's the editing and it's the way they're making the arguments look. And listen, I'm sure there is some of that. Like, I don't even fully disagree with her about that. But what I will say is that she'd be better off to just take the loss, right? And just be like, this season, I played it wrong. I went into the season, I assumed that no one would be on Shannon's side because she got a DUI and everybody hates a DUI and everybody hates a drunk driver. And I assumed everyone would be on my side. And I had Heather in my corner and everyone loved Heather last season and they all went against me because I tried to go after Heather. So like, I think Tamra really thought she had it in the bag, which she has basically said that. Like, she has basically admitted that in interviews. But basically she said in this interview that she was reactive during the season, which I couldn't disagree more. She was not reactive at all. Like, she's the one who's barking at Shannon and coming after, you know, bringing things out. Like, I just don't agree with that. I think nobody does. Tamra says we don't see things that are said slash done to make her. By the way, I want to say thank you to @bywighellodrama who kind of summarized this. But Tamra says we don't see things that are said slash done to make her react the way she does. She says it's unfair to an extent that Bravo removes parts of arguments. Well, Tamra, you know, as Mia's ex-husband says, if you want fair, go to the carnival. Okay. Tamra, like, you know this. She's acting like she's new. That's the other thing that bothers me. It's like she's been in this game for so long. She's one of the most veteran, experienced housewives. And now all of a sudden she's crying editing. Like, get out of here. And then she talks about what it's been like watching the season back. It's been a season that I've watched where I've gone, really? This is how it's coming out? I'm very shocked in the sense that, you know, here we have Shannon, whose drinking has been talked about for 10 years since she's been on the show, gets a DUI, hit and run, hurts herself, goes to jail, and for some reason, she's the victim. In my world, I just don't understand it. But then if I was a viewer watching the show, I would think the same because she's really good at playing the victim and poor me. Like, I don't think that Shannon is that good at playing the victim. Like, Shannon has had seasons where the audience has been against her and where they have been like, Shannon, we're sick of hearing you crying and whining about your ex-husband and your divorce. We're over it. Oh my God, I can't. Like, I remember a few seasons ago, it was even like 3 or 4 seasons ago, where everybody was really anti-Shannon. And I have these memories because I do the Twitter roundup. So I'm looking at what everyone's saying. And a lot of people were like sick of Shannon's shit. But here's the thing that I think Tamara is forgetting is that there's nothing more that people love more, I should say, sorry, than a redemption and a comeback. And Shannon has fully owned it. So I think that's the other thing. She didn't come into this season like Karen Huger, you know, like trying to like pretend it didn't happen, or like setting up, like Karen on the first episode has this like goes out for lunch with Giselle and like has basically pays the waiter to say like, oh, she comes in here all the time and she never drinks. Like it was so fake. And even Giselle like called it out, right? But you know, she's not doing that. She did the, I made a horrible mistake. I'm so disappointed in myself. I deserve to do these community service hours or whatever. I'm going to make sure I do them because I need to be reminded of the mistake I made. Like she even made that speech. So I like, yeah, that's it. I don't know what else Tamara wants. Like if you own something, a mistake that you made like that, and you fully, you know, are showing humility, people will be more forgiving than you think. Right. A lot of times I think people like Tamara and Lala is kind of similar. They dig their heels in so hard because they're like, well, this person should be the person the audience hates. And it's like, well, it's more nuanced than that. It's not just like this person did this, so we hate them the end. There's more to it than that. You know, it's also like Tamara wasn't even leaning into the DUI thing as much as she was leaning into the alcoholic thing. And I think that was a mistake too, because people are not going to be mad at Shannon for being an alcoholic, because people don't see that. Like people see it as a problem, yes, but largely societal attitudes have changed and people understand it's an addiction. It's a, like, look at the way that people handle Kim Richards. Like people are very protective of Kim Richards, like knowing she has these addiction mental health issues. So people are like, if she is an alcoholic, this is not how you deal with it. And she may be. I still think she may be. I don't know. I don't know 100%, because people who are not alcoholics can have DUIs. It happens all the time. Just like people who are alcoholics can have DUIs. It works both ways. So having a DUI in itself is not evidence of alcoholism, but it can be, right? But Tamara is kind of assuming that we're all going to just jump on board with Shannon's an alcoholic, which I think a lot of us think she might be, but we also know that badgering her and yelling at her and telling her don't order a drink at this dinner where everyone's drinking, that's not going to solve her problem if she is an addict. And a lot of people, I think a lot of viewers have dealt with addicts in their lives or alcoholics, and they know that, you know, you got to kind of, they're not going to get help until they're ready to get help. That's just real, you know? So like, I think sometimes Tamara forgets that maybe we're smarter than she is too. Like like Tamara's got some street smarts, you know, she's good at being a housewife, but she's not always good at seeing, like, I hate to overuse this word, but she's not good at seeing the nuance of things. She looks at things in a very too much of a black and white manner, I guess. So I got way off here, guys, but let's go back to the Tamara interview. So Tamara also said that she hopes her and Shannon can move past their fight, but she knows that they'll never be best friends again. Well, duh. She wishes Shannon would realize that she wasn't out to hurt her. Maybe you weren't out to hurt her, but you were out to use her potential alcoholism as a storyline because you don't have one. That is real. Like, I'm sorry. That is just, which, I mean, that's kind of how Tamara plays Housewives when she doesn't have something going on. I will give Tamra this. When she has something going on, she uses it. If it's something she can use, but her kids and her ex are not biting. She tried to do that. And her kid was like, shut up, stop talking. I don't want to talk about the divorce. I don't want to talk about dad. So she's really got nothing. You know, she had stuff with Eddie for a while. They were opening the gym. He had heart problems, all that. She had stuff with her divorce. So since she's really just kind of got nothing going on, she's leaning into this. And she doesn't care if leaning into it does hurt Shannon. Even if you're not maliciously trying to hurt her, you're also not trying to hurt her. Does that make sense? Okay. Tamra also says her friendship with Shannon was one-sided and that Shannon is needy. I mean, we've been hearing Tamra say this for years. Ever since the David Bedore divorce, Tamra has been singing this tune. Shannon's needy. She calls too much. Eddie gets annoyed with how much she calls. You know, I'm on the phone for hours, etc. But okay, you can't complain about that for the last 7 years or 8 years or whatever it's been, and you still keep going back. Like, you have consistently said you loved her. She's one of your best friends. You did this whole Tres Amigas thing and went on tour. Like, you've been fine with the dynamic. Like, you've complained about it, but then you keep taking part in it. So you can't all of a sudden kind of go back now and be like, well, this is the reason that I was a complete asshole to you, because you call too much or you're needy. Like, that's just not a good excuse. Okay, what else? Then Tamra also shaded Shannon for not having much like a husband or a job. Okay, shut up, Tamra. You have a husband who does what exactly? Sits around the house all day and does nothing and then talks behind your back? like, seriously, I don't know what Tamra's thinking. She's really lost the narrative. She's lost the plot. She's just completely gone. She needs a reset. It's like somebody needs to take the batteries out and just let her chill for like a year and then put the batteries back in, maybe. I just want to go on the record to say I still don't want Tamra fired. I know a lot of you listening might disagree with this. I remember all too well those seasons between without her, and people were just as pissed at Tamra when she got fired the first time. It was the same situation. It was because she had brought up the train rumor with Kelly Dodd, and people loved Kelly Dodd at the time, and because this was before everyone knew Kelly Dodd was the worst, but it was the exact same thing. And they listened to everyone and she got fired, and it's been terrible since. And now this season has been really good. So listen, I'm not on Tamra's side, but like, I still don't want her fired. I hope the network starts making decisions based on ratings, the quality of the season and things like that, and not based on social media. And the majority of people watching are not the super active vocal ones on social media. That's actually real. So that's the other thing that I hope Bravo realizes, because we need good TV here. I think we need good TV. And yes, I agree. Tamra's not even being that good of a villain right now. She's totally lost her way. But I do think that this season and the fan backlash will cause her to maybe reassess and reset. Okay, so that one I went over. What else is Tamra saying? I think that's it for Tamra. But Vicky on her podcast with Christian Grey Snow says that her prediction for the reunion is that Tamra is going to ask for forgiveness. And she doesn't think that Tamra's going to go in, quote unquote, guns blazing, because she's really one of the most hated housewives right now, which I totally agree. I think she's going to go in like cautiously defensive. Like, she'll still defend herself because she has to a point, but I think she will also, you know, I handled it really poorly, you know, the way I handled her potential alcoholism. Like, I think she's going to do one of those. It's because I care about you. It's because it's going to be excuse central. Okay. What was the other thing? Oh, yes. And then Alexis Bellino and John Jansen made an appearance at the Us Weekly Reality TV Stars of the Year, you know, party or whatever it was. There was a lot of other people there. People might, you might have heard of this because Kyle Richards won like Reality Star of the Year. God knows how that happened, unless like Kyle is in charge of the voting committee. I don't know. But anyways, so they were on the red carpet because, you know, John hates the spotlight, guys. Like he has no interest in that. But here he is on the red carpet. Basically what they said in their little interview was Alexa says that she thought the season would go one way, but it went another. Yeah, we know. Basically you thought Shannon would get backlash and you were wrong. Then the interviewer asks Alexis if she has any regrets. And Alexis replies that she doesn't. Her only regret is for John to answer and speak for her and say, well, I think Lex regrets sharing anything about the videos. And I'll restate that I am the one who has the videos and nothing has come out of my mouth about showing them to anybody. So basically, John is saying that I guess John and Alexis are regretting the mention of the videos and using them. So John kind of like, sorry, I don't think I explained that well, but in the interview, John kind of like cuts in to say this. And he's like, I think, you know, Lexi regrets sharing anything about the videos and I'm the one who has them. Like he's trying to help Alexis, I guess, look more innocent, I think. And then John also says that Shannon is masterful at eliciting sympathy that she doesn't deserve. Well, it's also subjective in terms of who deserves sympathy and who doesn't. Like I could argue that if she really is an alcoholic, that she does deserve some sympathy. Somebody else could argue the opposite. Like it's, again, maybe John's not the smartest guy. I don't know. Okay. So Jeff Lewis also weighed in on why Shannon lied on the show. So if you watch this week's episode, which I'm going to assume that you have by now, because it was on last Thursday, but obviously, I've already given a million spoilers, so I can't even do a spoiler alert. But basically, we find out that Shannon was on Jeff Lewis and she said something that was kind of seemingly contradictory to what she had said to Heather. So she had said to Heather that when she left John's house drunk and got in the car, that the crash was very close to John's house. And did he... And Shannon's like, or Heather's like, do you think that John could have heard you crash your car? And Shannon's like, well, I don't know, but it's possible, something like that. Then on Jeff Lewis, she says, he asked the same question. Do you think John heard your car crash? And Shannon says, I didn't think about that, or I haven't thought about that, or I haven't given it any thought. And then, so Heather kind of uses this as a sort of like, I don't know what she thinks it's like some kind of smoking gun moment, which it's really not. And she's like, oh, well, you contradicted yourself or you said something different and you're using me by filming that other scene and having me on camera so you could say that you think John Jansen heard you get into the accident. But then on Jeff Lewis, you say you didn't even think about it. So Jeff says, well, yeah, the reason that she, you know, changed her story when she came on my radio show is because that was after the lawsuit. So at that point, John Jansen had sued Shannon for $75,000, and she's not going to add more fuel to the fire now by also adding in that, oh, you know, John possibly heard me crash my car and didn't even care to come and check and see if everyone was okay. So it's like, and that is exactly what I thought. Like when I saw that scene and they showed the flashbacks, I'm like, yeah, there's a difference between post and pre lawsuit. Like when she was talking to Heather on camera initially, that was before John sued her. So of course she's going to be like just saying whatever, or just maybe saying what she honestly thinks, which is that he probably heard her crash her car. But then, yeah, she's going to be more careful about, like, yes, she went on Jeff Lewis. Her lawyer told her she could speak about it, defend herself, but she's not going to be like, let me talk more shit about him directly or accuse him of more things after he's already put out this lawsuit. But yes, I can defend myself against the lawsuit that's already occurred. I also do think that Shannon shouldn't have done that interview. Because the one thing that she did say that was more problematic, I guess, was her saying that she, you know, he said to her, I wish you could get a loan, a low interest loan. And she was like, well, you have money, because that does kind of make it sound like it was a loan. Here's the thing, though. I do think it was a loan, but it doesn't matter at this point because she offered to pay him. The problem is that he will not sign the non-disparagement agreement. And that's the problem. Like, it's not. So Tamara and Heather's obsession with like, oh, Shannon is trying to say it's not a loan. Well, no, she was willing to give him money, like made him an offer and said, but you got to sign this. And he wouldn't sign it. And now Shannon was on Watch What Happens Live. So here's another update. And she was asked about this, of course. And she said that she just heard from her lawyer on the day that she's sitting there filming Watch What Happens Live and Andy asked her. And she just heard from her lawyer that John is now saying that he will drop the lawsuit, I think, something like that, if she makes a public statement saying that he is a very generous person. So clearly, this is really, and she's like, I'm assuming the answer is no, since she went on Watch What Happens Live and told everyone that. I'm assuming she's not, and even if she did, we would all know it's bullshit because she already told us that. But clearly, it's really about this man's ego, and he wants everyone to see that he's not like a cheap loser. You know what I mean? Which I don't, like, I wouldn't have thought he was cheap for wanting such a large loan paid back. I would not have thought that. But once you file the lawsuit and then you're sort of threatening like, oh, I'm going to release these videos of you that are incriminating. And then you're also like, you're refusing to sign a non-disparagement clause, which I mean, like that, he should have just taken the initial offer and that it really, because then people would just be like, yeah, Shannon probably did borrow the money. And it was well spent because she looks great, like good facelift. Okay, so every penny of Johnny J's money was well spent, guys. Okay, so look at that face. Okay, what else do we got for OC? I think that's all the kind of lawsuit, Shannon, Tamara kind of talk. But as, you know, as we do with Shannon Bedore, there is always more. I didn't even mean to rhyme. But Shannon is changing her name, guys, from Shannon Storms Bedore to Shannon Storms Redemption Bedore, because Joel Kim Booster has come out and apologized for his statements. So not only was she redeemed with the whole Alexis tweet, I love this for her. We are 33 minutes in recording and I have only really talked about Shannon. I just want to put that out there. She's given us so much, really. Just really, she has. Okay. Okay. So Joel Kim Booster put out this statement as an apology, and he says, "Re the housewives of it all. I've had a lot of time to think and process about this, and I wish I could say that I was not the guy who posted those statements on Instagram, but the fact is that I am. I let an onset conflict cloud my judgment and access the darkest, ugliest part of myself and said things I don't stand by or even believe. And I am deeply sorry that allowed, and I am deeply sorry that allowed my worst self, that I allowed, sorry, he had a little error, that I allowed my worst self to cloud my judgment. I know Shannon has had an extraordinarily hard year, as she has bravely shared, and as someone who has struggles of their own that have spilled over into work. I should have had more grace for her in that moment. I am deeply sorry for the ways in which I've made Shannon's road towards stability more difficult, and hope that she makes it out the other side of this stronger, healthier, and with the love that she deserves in her life. I regret making this a part of the story of our show, as I'm deeply proud of the work myself, the ladies, and the crew put into making it." I mean, how did he not think of this before he posted it? Like, you are the host of a reality dating show, and you're going to come out before it's even aired. There's not even a trailer. There's nothing. Are they even done editing it? Probably not. And you're going to come out and talk shit about one of the stars. There's four stars of this show, and you're going to come out and say that one of them was like terrible to work with, was, you know, a mess. And sorry, I had to check something on my mic. One of them was a mess, and just because you got a DUI and you've had relationship issues doesn't make you a star, which, by the way, it absolutely does in the reality TV world. I stand by that. And of course, he comes out and apologizes. I mean, it's he held out for a bit. Clearly, listen, there probably was some kind of conflict. There's two sides to every story. I'm sure Shannon has her side and he has his. But at the end of the day, what an unprofessional move. And I don't know how you can think that the producers, and this isn't just Bravo, like this is NBC Universal, are not, how this is not going to hurt your career, how they are not going to come out and, you know, say to you, you take that down, you have to apologize, etc. Like, here's the other thing. Now, in the future, there can always be conflicts on sets behind the scenes. There can always be issues behind the scenes on sets between actors, between directors, whoever. And even if you have a reputation of being a delight to work with, now people are going to be like, do I want to work with this guy? Because if something happens and he's upset and he doesn't like the way that something went, is he going to take to Instagram and tell everybody about that? Like, that's what co-stars, future directors, producers are going to think now when they look at you. Because Shannon doesn't give a shit. She's not an actor. She's a reality star. If anything, this makes her career better. But like, he really didn't think this through. Which also kind of makes me feel like, was this like a moment? Like, was he, I don't know. Did he have a couple drinks and just let loose? Like, I don't know. Like, maybe there was something and now he's like, he's clear minded and he's like, ah, shit. Because Luann also said in an interview that Joel Kim Booster apologized to the cast, the whole cast, after his unhinged rant about Shannon Bedore. Luann also said she never saw Shannon mistreating anyone on set and she didn't feel any tension between Joel and Shannon. You know, Luann says that Joel made a mistake, but he was a good host. And listen, there's been interviews with Ashley as well. She said the same thing. Interviews with Giselle, like they all pretty much taken Shannon's side, which again, they kind of have to, because you can't be like, because again, you can't bring more unprofessionalism to this show at this point, right? Last thing from the OC world is that condolences need to go out to Lydia because her mom, Judy, passed away. Many of you might remember Judy because she was on the show here and there during Lydia's two seasons. Listen, I'm not a fan of Lydia, never was, never will be, but her mom was a nice lady and she was funny. And I mean, in some ways, she was more entertaining than Lydia, that's for sure. We all probably remember when Brianna's husband yelled at her about putting her feet on the couch. And listen, she was like so fun and just, she was a character, honestly. So rest in peace, Judy. And Lydia wrote, my mom passed away last night. We are heartbroken, but we know she's dancing with Jesus. Fairy dust, confetti bombs and crowns like heaven has never seen before. What's in the cat is in the kitten. And I promise to continue to make you proud. That's nice. All right. So let's talk about the Valley, because there is always something with Mr. Jax Taylor and Miss Brittany Cartwright. So basically, a rumor has come out stating that Brittany Cartwright started secretly hooking up with Jax Taylor's pal, Julian Sensley, shortly after their separation. And Julian Sensley, I believe, is an NBA player. But Page Six reports that they only ever hung out privately and that their romance is now over. And then people are pulling up this tweet that Jax had put out a while ago saying, you may want to ask Brittany who she's been sleeping with for the past 4 months. Well, Jax, she's allowed to sleep with someone after you're separated. I mean, you were sleeping with people while you were still married. So, you know, so Jax is also clarifying that he and Britney have already long resolved their custody issues amid their ongoing divorce. So basically, he gave a statement to People on Wednesday and via his rep. And this is what it says. Jax and Britney have already long resolved all matters related to the custody of Cruz and will continue to work together privately for the best interest of their son, which remains their overriding concern. While Jax made errors in filling out forms that are usually done by trained legal professionals, those errors will be amended without delay. Jax is so dumb. Just the fact that he would try to even fill out any sort of legal document without help. Like, I wouldn't trust Jax to fill out an online free survey. So anyways, the errors that they're referring to are when basically he gave over full legal and physical custody, which is a pretty big error. but I guess they have that all worked out behind closed doors. Okay. All right, let's talk about Salt Lake City. So Jen Shaw, there's a name we haven't talked about in a while. Her prison sentence is getting reduced. And again, and it seems that she is due for release in December 2027, which that feels soon. I'm sure it doesn't feel soon to her, but it does to the rest of us. And okay, let me give you a little bit more detail. But basically, it was originally reduced to 2028, and now it's been reduced to 2027. So she's in Bryan Federal Prison Camp in Texas, and we all know she had pleaded guilty to defrauding thousands of people, including the elderly, out of money in a telemarketing scheme. She was originally supposed to spend 6.5 years in prison and was ordered to pay $6.5 million in restitution, but her sentencing is reduced by a year now. So I'm assuming this is for good behavior slash, you know, showing progress and things like that in prison. I'm also assuming maybe it's because of, you know, the overcrowded prison system. You know, maybe it's so she can get out of jail and start working and start paying back those restitutions. I don't know. People are talking about like when she's going to come back to the show. Like, I don't want her back on the show, to be honest. Like, I think this is not like the Teresa Giudice story. It's just not the same. This is much more, you know, poignant and malicious. Like, Teresa was like a tax evasion thing, and like a lot of it I think is just because she was a dummy and she just let her husband control things, and I don't think she really knew that she wasn't paying these taxes, etc. But Jen was like the ringleader of, you know, what's it called? Like an organized criminal enterprise where they were targeting people and like scamming people out of their money. Like, that's a different thing. So I don't think anyone cares. At least I don't care to see her back on TV again. I think the show has been the best it's ever been since she left. Maybe unpopular opinion, the first three seasons were fine, but they really weren't that great, because Jen put a damper on how real the women could be. And I think it's way better since she's been gone. And I just don't think that they need her back. I think she'll just bring a new dark cloud to the show. I think none of them can really be friends with her again. I think they're going to be intimidated. Like, I just don't think it's a good idea. So I hope Bravo doesn't make a stupid decision. Meanwhile, Salt Lake City star Whitney Rose's teen daughter is out of the ICU. So Bobby was in the ICU because she was having a really scary medical emergency. Basically, she had like the worst type of asthma attack that you can have, which is where like she couldn't get air in at all. So she was in the intensive care unit for a while, I think it was a few days, Whitney said. Now, she's okay. So she's back at home, and Whitney made basically like an Instagram video telling everybody how it's been like a hard few days. They've been in the hospital with her. She couldn't breathe, and kind of gave all the details. But the weird thing about this is that, and not that it's a lie or anything like that, just weird, is that Whitney's like filming herself. She makes this announcement. She tells all the details of the asthma, et cetera. And, you know, how Bobby's at home now and she's still recovering and she's still, you know, needs rest and all that kind of stuff. And then she turns the camera around and she's like, but in other news, and then she turns around the camera and it's her and Heather. And she's like, we're going to Australia. And they're like in like a fancy like airport room and they're like getting ready to get on their flight. And it's like, okay, are you guys filming? Like, I don't think they're filming right now because the season's airing. So it's just a little weird to be like taking off to Australia when your daughter has just come home from the, like, not just the hospital, but the ICU. I don't know. I'm trying not to like mom shame here, but it's just not the choice that I would make. It's just weird. I don't know. It's just very weird to me. Like, unless this is like, I was like, okay, maybe this is like a work thing that her and Heather like have to do and they can't get out of. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. But it's like, could you not maybe postpone? Like, at least tell us, like, why are you going to Australia? Like, is there something that you really have to go to? I don't know. It just, maybe it wasn't the smartest choice. But it's Whitney. So probably not the smartest choice. All right, what else we got? We've got some mom talk news, actually. Let's get into it. So in terms of season two, we know that's happening for the Secret Lives of Mormon Wives. And I mean, they're trying to keep up the interest. You know, they're teasing us because it was one of those shows where like all the episodes came out at once and, you know, time goes on and people talk about it less. And listen, they need to get that second season out. If they make people wait a year, they're going to lose a lot of their momentum. But that being said, the girls are working hard on TikTok and et cetera to kind of keep their relevance. So this is kind of annoying, but Jen Affleck and a couple of the girls did like a TikTok video where they're sort of implying that she may have left her husband. I don't even remember what his name is. The asshole guy, the blonde asshole guy who looks like a Targaryen. That maybe she left him, but then they show another TikTok video and she still got her ring on and she confirms that they are together. So it was definitely just like clickbait. Zach is his name. So it was definitely just clickbait and they're just, you know, they're trying to make that money. They're trying to keep interest going. She is very much still with Zach. There's no divorce, even though we all kind of wish there would be. And another person who may be making an appearance, though, next season is Miranda. So if you don't know, Miranda was one of the original women who was involved in the swinging scandal. So there were not like a lot of these women that were actually involved in the swinging. There was like three, I think. And Miranda is one of the ones who was like confirmed involved. But she chose, I guess, I'm assuming she chose not to come on the show, because I don't see why they wouldn't try to get her on the show for the first season. But it sounds like she wasn't interested, or maybe she just didn't want more like shame or embarrassment over the whole swinging thing. I have no idea, right? However, the show has aired and it is super popular and they have all gone from like TikTok stars to now, you know, still TikTok stars, but now also reality TV stars. And it's like a huge jump in their level of fame and their audience. And now Miranda has been making comments here and there about like, maybe I will be on season two, like things like you can tell she's like, oh shit, this was really popular. I need to be on the show too. And now Taylor and Miranda posted, you know, a picture on social media of the two of them hanging out, or video of the two of them hanging out. So it seems like they're probably filming for season two. I don't see why Hulu wouldn't get their shit together, get the cameras up right away with these ladies, especially with the amount of drama that they have, and air the show. Like, get the show out there. We need it. We don't need it in a year. We need it in like the next few months at the most. So get your shit together, Hulu. Let's go. And I guarantee you, Miranda and some of the other girls that were asked to be on the show and turned it down, they will be there. Definitely Miranda will. I'm interested. And it turns out that Zac Affleck, we know it's been confirmed, by the way, that he's not related to Ben Affleck. But guess who he might be related to or is related to distantly on a family tree? Lala Kent from Vanderpump Rules. Doesn't that just make so much sense that the two of them are related? Just everything makes sense. And it all comes back to Bravo. All right. What else we got? We did Salt Lake City. Let's talk about some general Bravo news because we definitely have some. So BravoCon is coming back. Okay. We have an official date. It's going to be in Las Vegas in 2025, November 14th, 15th, and 16th. And Andy Cohen says he is very ready. So Sin City will once again be home to BravoCon, which, I mean, it just makes sense. Like, Las Vegas just really makes sense for BravoCon. Should I go, guys? I don't know. It's a lot of money. Like, because obviously I have to fly there from Toronto. That's first of all. And then you got to pay for a hotel. And then you got to pay for the tickets. And then I'm sure while you're there, you're going to be like going out drinking or you're going to go out and eat dinners and stuff like that. And it's just one of those things. But I'm thinking about it. Okay. I'm thinking about it. They're giving us a lot of time to plan. We've got a whole year to plan, a little more than a year. So I don't know. I could put away some money and try. Ugh, I've never been to a BravoCon. I've always wanted to go. It makes sense in Las Vegas. I kind of wish they'd done it in New York because then that would be like a quicker trip for me. But I don't know. Not that it's all about me because it's definitely not. But we'll see. We'll see. I'll let you guys know once I make some decisions. In other news, we have a court date for Leah McSweeney's lawsuit against Andy Cohen and Bravo. So basically on October 20th, there is going to be, you know, oral arguments in court, and it'll be the first time that a cast member has argued their lawsuit against the network in open court. So, you know, Bravo's going to be arguing to dismiss the lawsuit and Leah's going to be arguing against dismissal. So yes, we will see, and it's going to be interesting to see from what we've heard from her lawsuit, you know, what we've read, what we've seen from her publicist, what she's put out there, I haven't really seen anything very compelling. Definitely nothing that's any more compelling than what Brandi Glanville was arguing. Brandi Glanville, who literally dropped her lawsuit because her lawyers told her she doesn't have a case. So I don't know if it's looking very good for Leah, because I don't think Leah had much more of a case, if any. Okay. All right. So a little bit of Below Deck news. I don't usually do this, but but Captain Lee was doing like a panel interview podcast show. I don't even know what it was. But the point is that he was asked who his least favorite cast member is, and he answered Captain Sandy, which I fully agree. I can't stand Captain Sandy. But Kate Chastain took to Twitter to respond to this and said, I have been asked probably over 150 times who my least favorite Below Deck crew member is. My answer would never be a chief stew of another franchise. That would be super weird. I don't know about that, Kate. I'm a fan of Kate. I enjoy Kate, but Kate, you'll talk a lot of shit. So, and he's not even on the show anymore. So, well, I guess she isn't either, but it's like, I think he can say, I understand like what she's saying in the sense of like, they weren't on a franchise together, but that doesn't mean that he hasn't interacted with each other or maybe heard things or seen things. I don't know. I've never been able to get back on board, no pun intended, with Captain Sandy ever since the shit that her and what's that girl's name pulled against Hannah. And not like I'm the biggest Hannah fan. It was just like so shady. What was her name? She was on Winter House after that. She was super annoying. Yeah, anyways, ever since the two of them did that against Hannah, I was like, Sandy sucks. I'm sorry. And she's just like, she's not fun to watch. She's just not like an entertaining. Her personality is just not for reality TV. It's not even like she's like a bad person necessarily or has a bad personality. It's just not like dynamic and fun, in my opinion. Okay. Okay, let's talk about Summer House for a bit. So at the Us Weekly Reality TV Stars of the Year, we had some people from Summer House, namely Lindsay Hubbard and Kyle Cook. And who was conspicuously absent was Amanda. Just saying, I don't have any information. Just want to put it out there that yet another event with Kyle that Amanda is not attending. Just saying. Okay. There could be a totally benign reason for it. There could also be a not benign reason. Meanwhile, Lindsay was asked about the future of Summer House because, you know, with people getting older, people like her, who's definitely the star who brings most of the drama, being pregnant, it's kind of like, where is the show going, you know, and what's going to happen for some of the castmates who are maybe like maturing out of the show, like Lindsay. And she said it is something that's on people's minds. It's a conversation that's being had by, you know, the cast and people involved in working on the show. And she's like, you know, it's like, I'm not going to like be bringing my like seven month old baby like to the Summer House where everyone's like drinking and partying. So, you know, she's like, we do have to, or, you know, she's like thinking about the future in a different way and all that kind of stuff, which of course, like makes total sense. I would so be here for a like the Valley version of Summer House. The thing is we need more than just Lindsay to grow up. Like, and this is the thing is like Kyle and Amanda should be essentially, they should be in that position to like lead a spinoff show like that. But the problem is that Kyle refuses, even though he's like 40 something, he refuses to grow out of the like 20 something phase. You know what I mean? Like Summer House could still be like, you know, Jesse and Wes and, you know, maybe some like younger girls or at least still single girls even. But, you know, some of these other people, it's kind of like it's going to start getting a little sad, you know, just like it kind of was with Vanderpump in some ways, which I think is why The Valley works so well, because it's not just about like the premise of the show. It's about the people and how dynamic and interesting they are. Right. And like, you know, I am here to like, am I a big Kyle fan or a big Carl fan? No. But am I here to kind of watch them continue their journey? Yeah. Do I want to see the mess? Yeah. Do I want to see the Amanda and Kyle mess in the suburbs? Kind of. Like, do I want to see Lindsay in the suburbs and see how she's going to do, or even not even suburbs, but even just like in New York, just like more daily life or however they're going to be living? Yeah, I'm down for that. I am so down for that. But I don't know. I don't know how it's going to go. So, but I think, you know, I think the show is kind of on the right trajectory in terms of like bringing in these younger, newer people who are creating drama. And, you know, maybe it does need to split into two, like VPR and The Valley. I mean, we all had our doubts about The Valley and it's good. And even if like Lindsay and Kyle and those, they have some other married friends, if they who are like legitimately in their friend group, just like Jax and all of them did, that would be good too. I could see that, you know? And then like when there's entertaining people on Summer House who eventually grow up and get married, they can have somewhere to migrate over to. You know what I mean? Okay. Because I mean, we need something with New York City because Roni's just not. Like, listen, I'm still going to watch it. I'm like entertained by it. It's fine, but it's not giving what we really need it to give, you know? Okay. So what else we got? Do I have anything else? Oh yes. Real Housewives of Dubai. People were saying that it's going to be canceled, but Taline actually replied to a Bravo account and said not true. So I just wanted to give you a little update on that because I'm not sure if, you know, what's going on with that show. I haven't heard anything official, but what I will say is that there's always going to be like rumors about like what's happening with this show, what's happening with that show, until we get official word. I would just kind of block that noise out because there is nothing yet. Okay, everyone, thank you so much for joining me today. I had a great time. I hope you did too. And you are now in the know for everything Bravo. See you next week. Bye.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Your support really means everything to me. And this show wouldn't be possible without you, the listeners. So please, if you enjoy the podcast, leave a 5-star rating and subscribe so you don't miss an episode. For more, you can join my Patreon, patreon.com/BravoandBotox. And for $5 a month, you'll get 4 extra podcast episodes a month. You'll also get early releases of Bravo Paper episodes and more. Please also subscribe to my YouTube channel at The Bravo Papers and follow me on Twitter, Instagram, at Bravo in Botox, and at The Bravo Papers. If you'd like to buy me a coffee, you can at buymeacoffee.com/BravoandBotox. You know, send your love through some much needed caffeine. And any guest that was on today's episode will be in the show notes, all their social media and contact information. So thank you so much, everyone. Keep overanalyzing Bravo.